It's Ocko Farm News, brought to you by your nearby Ocko serviceman and by the Old Wine Chemical Company of Old Wine, Iowa, makers of Ocko Mineral Compound and other Ocko livestock products. Because of the many wartime livestock problems facing the farmer today, never before has it been so important to get the help and advice of your local Ocko serviceman. He can show you proved methods of obtaining maximum livestock production, of preparing livestock for market faster and in top condition. Get his help today. A telephone call or postcard will bring him to your farm. And now, here's your Ocko Farm News reporter, Bill Diamond.
Good afternoon. The Midwest's third severe cold wave in the first 9 days of the new year blanketed virtually the entire central part of the nation last night. The harsh cold, which moved down from Canada, plummeted thermometer readings as far south as the Gulf of Mexico. Weather observers warn that while the sudden cold thrust will move out of Midwest sections as rapidly as it hit, another wintry blast will follow in less than 48 hours. No change has been noted in readings in downtown Des Moines, where the mercury has been holding consistently at the zero mark since 6 o'clock this morning. Last night, a low of 24 below was recorded at Decorah, while other cold spots in the Corn Belt included minus 23 readings at Park Falls, Wisconsin, and at International Falls, Minnesota. As the cold wave moves eastward, Chicago residents are shivering under 8 below temperatures this morning. Other cold readings just reported for the Hawkeye State include 16 below for Mason City, 15 below at Iowa Falls, and a minus 13 at Waterloo and at Charles City last night. The forecast for Iowa calls for continued cloudiness and slowly rising temperatures tonight and tomorrow, with occasional light snow in the northwest portion tonight and in the north and east portions Wednesday. The mercury is expected to move upward to 5 above in the northeast and to 10 above in other sections tonight. Turning now to the livestock markets, on the Chicago market, saleable receipts of hogs totaled 18,000 head. The market was very active, fully steady. Virtually all good and choice butchers over 180 pounds brought the $14.75 ceiling price. There were odd lots, however, bringing 14 and a quarter to $14.65. Saleable receipts of cattle totaled 8,000 head, calves 1,000. The general market was fully steady. Fed steers and yearlings were steady to strong, with medium and the good kind showing the most strength. The run was very late in arriving this morning on account of the cold wave, and most early sales were between $13 and $16. Some, however, were held above the $17 mark. Saleable receipts of sheep at Chicago totaled 6,000 head. Early sales, all classes were reported steady. Good and choice fed lambs selling mostly at $15.50. Over at Omaha, hogs totaled 5,000 head. The market was generally selling at ceiling prices. Saleable receipts of cattle at Omaha, 4,500 head, calves 200 head. Fed steers were steady to 25 cents higher. Top grade of fed steers brought $14.75 to $15.50, and the best were up to $16. 5,500 sheep at Omaha, and the fat lamb market was not fully established. However, askings were around 25 cents or more higher. And at Sioux City, 6,500 saleable hogs, the market was strong to mostly a dime higher. The top and the bulk of the good and choice butchers were selling for $14.45, the ceiling price. Cattle receipts at Sioux City totaled 3,500 head. Slaughter steers were firm, heifers were about steady. Medium and good short fed steers were bringing $12 to 14 and a quarter. The choice kinds were very scarce. Saleable sheep receipts at Sioux City totaled 3,000 head. And at this moment, the fat lamb market was not established, although sellers were generally asking higher prices. Here's a report on St. Joseph livestock trading. 2,800 hogs received, the market fully steady. 1,400 cattle at St. Joseph, slaughter steers and long yearlings were fully steady to strong, and in spots 10 to 15 cents higher. At Kansas City, good to choice 7 to 800 pound white-faced steers were selling from 12 and a quarter to 13 and a quarter this morning. Good shorthorns in the same weight range brought $11 to 12 and a quarter. Good and choice Hereford steer calves were selling from $12.50 to $13.50. An estimated 7,500 head of cattle were on the Kansas City market today. Receipts on the interior Iowa and southern Minnesota markets today were 38,300 head. The market was fairly active, steady to firm, with instances of 5 to 10 cents higher. Good and choice 200 to 300 pound butchers were selling from $14.50 to $14.35, mostly at the 14 and a quarter level. Good and choice sows selling at $13.50 to $13.70. Loadings for tomorrow will be some smaller than last Wednesday's 64,300 head. Here are the estimated receipts for tomorrow. At Chicago, 11,000 cattle, 16,000 hogs, and 8,000 sheep. At Kansas City, 6,500 cattle, 3,000 hogs, and 7,000 sheep. At Omaha, 6,500 cattle, 8,000 hogs, and 7,000 sheep. And at East St. Louis, 4,000 cattle, 10,000 hogs, and 2,000 sheep. And at St. Joseph, 2,500 cattle, 4,000 hogs, and 5,000 sheep. On the Chicago grain market, prices were steady at mid-session this morning. However, latest available reports on quotations from Lampson Brothers and Company show that during the past few minutes, wheat, rye, and barley were all fractionally lower. Corn and oats remained unchanged. The produce market again remained steady and unchanged today. In New York, stock swung forward fractions to more than a point today to further new highs.
When it takes weeks, yes, even months longer than it should to get livestock to market weight, don't pass it off by saying they just weren't good feeders. The real trouble can be caused by mineral starvation. This is due to the fact that so much of today's homegrown feeds are apt to be deficient in mineral and the vital minerals. The tested way to overcome this trouble is by adding Ocko mineral compound to the ration. Thousands of Midwest farmers will tell you that when they added Ocko to their rations, their livestock reached market weight in a much shorter period of time. The quicker your livestock is ready for market, the less your feeding costs. And the small amount of Ocko needed to help balance your livestock rations and get quick, thrifty gains is so inexpensive that you can hardly afford to take the chance of not using it. So insure your livestock against mineral starvation by using Ocko mineral compound. Your nearby Ocko serviceman will show you how. Get in touch with him today. And now, Bill, let's have some more late farm news.
At Waterloo yesterday, 14 Iowa Ayrshire dairy farms sold 54 head of registered Ayrshire cattle in the first state sale of its kind. Top animal, a yearling heifer consigned by Howie Lang and Son of Brooklyn, sold for $500. Myron Sears and Sons of Grinnell were the buyers. The big news on the domestic scene today is the announcement of the next federal budget by President Roosevelt. Of particular interest to farmers are the sections relating to the agricultural appropriations. In submitting his request for $512 million, to tide the Agriculture Department and War Food Administration of the 1946 fiscal year, the president emphasized it was strictly a wartime budget and did not reflect long-range objectives. In the future, the president said, we must develop a program to eliminate malnutrition and rural poverty. Although the $512 million is roughly $200 million less than the actual agricultural appropriations for the 1945 fiscal year, Mr. Roosevelt indicated it was ample to assure continued crop production at the high levels of the past 3 years. Anticipating the needs of returning war veterans and the desirability of providing adequate assistance to small, low-income farmers, the president recommended that the FSA's borrowing authority be increased by $58 million for rural rehabilitation and $35 million for the tenant purchase program. At the same time, the president asked that the borrowing power of the REA be boosted by $125 million. Mr. Roosevelt advised Congress that he had already given his approval to a recommendation by WFA Chief Marvin Jones for an increase of $2 billion in borrowing authority of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Farmers and the nation as a whole must be protected from the heavy fluctuations in agricultural prices and income. And this must be accomplished without the accumulation of unmanageable surpluses. This is what Mr. Roosevelt told Congress this morning. Here is news for poultry raisers and certainly welcome news for hatcherymen. A release today from the War Food Administration announces a revision in farm egg production goals for 1945. Goals announced in November called for a drastic cut in poultry and egg production. However, WFA has revised their order after taking into account recommendations from state goal meetings. As far as war food is concerned now, the 1945 egg production may closely approximate 1944 production. On the basis of prospective eggs for 1946, the number of chicks raised for flock replacement purposes should be about the same as during last year. WFA states that the number of early hatched chicks should be maintained at least as high as last year's level. Attention was focused in this direction because it is felt early chicks give better returns to the poultryman and furnish more eggs during early fall and winter months when egg production is seasonably low. Recommended 1945 crop goals for Iowa counties were announced today by Al Loveland, state AAA chairman. The county goals are a breakdown of the state goal, just as the state goal is a part of the national quota. Crop goals were set for 10 major crops, including corn, oats, soybeans, flax, wheat, tame hay, sugar beets, and such canning crops as sweet corn, tomatoes, and peas. The county goal will be presented to county war boards at a series of district meetings to be held later this month. The goals will be subject to change or approval by county war board representatives. Here is a reminder about the forthcoming WHO Corn Festival, which will be held in Des Moines, January 27th and 28th. Interested listeners are urged to write today for corn show rules and premium lists. Participation is open to any farm family in the United States and Canada. Attractive prizes are offered by WHO and by DeKalb, Pioneer, Vinton, Funk, and Reed hybrid corn companies. Only corn grown in 1944 is eligible for the show. Classes are set up for 3-year samples, 5-year samples, single-ear entries, and for shelled samples. Also, cash prizes are offered for the longest ear, the most unusual ear, to the exhibitor sending corn from the greatest distance, and to amateur exhibitors showing corn for the first time in the WHO Corn Festival. Already, many farmers have requested corn show premium lists. Get yours this week by writing today to Herb Plambeck, WHO Des Moines. Listeners concerned over Herb's whereabouts might be interested to know that he is spending a chilly week in Scott County, where he is helping his father prepare for a farm dispersal scheduled for tomorrow. The elder Plambeck has been farming near Davenport for the past 35 years. A wheezing bull is gazing through the walls of a huge oxygen tent today while a veterinarian administers giant-sized shots of penicillin in an effort to save the Royal Guernsey Prince from death by pneumonia. The purebred patient, sick on a Massachusetts stock farm, already has received 2.5 million units of the drug under special dispensation by the War Production Board, but his physician still describes him as a pretty sick boy.
For the past year, I have used Aqua Mineral Compound. The results speak for themselves. My feed costs have been greatly reduced, yet my hogs top the market. My sows are farrowing big, healthy litters. End quotation. This is what S.C. Westfall of Springbrook, North Dakota, writes about Aqua Mineral Compound. His Aqua serviceman is G.B. Southard of Williston, North Dakota. Get in touch with your local Aqua serviceman and get complete details about Aqua Mineral Compound and other quality Aqua livestock products. If you do not know your Aqua serviceman's name, write to Aqua. That's O-C-C-O, Aqua in care of this station, WHO Des Moines, or in care of the Old Wine Chemical Company at Old Wine, Iowa. You'll receive his name promptly, and there's no obligation. For the next edition of Occo Farm News, tune in this same station at 12 noon Thursday. WHO, Des Moines.